Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
All right, the Steve Austin Show Unleashed is sponsored in part this week by DDP Yoga. You know, I'm always talking about how great DDP Yoga is and how it's literally great for everyone. Well, my good buddy, DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, sent me a letter that was written to him by a 15-year-old boy named Brady. I thought I'd share it with you. It goes like this. I'm 15 years old, and I've been overweight my entire life. I'm the boy that other kids make fun of. I've heard every fat joke there is. I'm the boy that comes in last place in every race. The kid to quit football because practice was just too hard. 15 years old and 252 pounds. I had no confidence, and it was time to make a change. I tried diets that I found on the internet, and they didn't work. I tried running on treadmills for hours, losing a little but gaining it all back. Nothing was working. I was terrified to visit the doctor for physicals, since every time my doctor looked at me in shame and talked only about me being too fat and unhealthy. I was lost and deeply depressed. But one day while watching wrestling, I was researching some of the wrestlers I enjoyed, and I found DDP Yoga. I watched and read all the testimonials, and I knew this was my last chance. My dad was skeptical at first, but he knew how important it was for me to get healthy again, so he ordered me the Max Pack. The day I received it was the day my life began to change. I followed the guide, and after week two, through all the sweat and hardships of eating right, I started losing weight and started feeling better already. When I couldn't do something on the video, I modified it and just did the best I could. Like DDP says, if you can't do it now, make it your own, and soon you will get there. And get there I did. After a few months, I could do everything. And on top of that, I've lost 50 pounds and have never felt better. Every day, with every stretch, my confidence level went from zero to feeling proud of myself, knowing I could do what I first thought was impossible. I cannot thank DDP enough. I wear his shirts proudly, and when people ask me how I did it, I say, DDP Yoga. And they say, yoga? And I say, trust me, it ain't your mama's yoga. Thank you, DDP. Thank you for giving me the confidence I've never had. 50 pounds down, and I truly feel great. It is a life-changing experience. I will have more to lose, and I will continue with it and never go back. Hey, DDP Yoga can work for all ages, weights, and fitness levels. It provides a kick-ass cardio workout with minimal joint impact. Right now, go to www.ddpyoga.com/Austin and check out the sale exclusively for listeners. We also have the DDP Yoga Now app for working out on the go, available on iOS and Android devices. Once again, go to www.ddpyoga.com/Austin. It'll have you on your way to not only change your life, but own your life.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production. He started in a small town in Texas. Worked his ass off to become one of the most famous wrestlers of all time.
We're going to take care of business tonight, and that's the bottom line.
And now, he's dominating the world of on-demand audio. And he's doing it for the working man.
This is a damn good outlet for me to spew the bullshit off my brain.
Yeah!
This is Steve Austin Unleashed. Unleashed.
All right, everybody, welcome to Steve Austin Show. I am coming to you from the mean streets of Los Angeles, California today. I'm sitting here at 317 Gimmick Street. The ceiling fan above me is spinning around like a rotisserie chicken, providing me a breath of fresh air because a goddamn heat wave has descended upon the city of Los Angeles, and it's been hotter than blazes out here. Son of a bitch. As I record the opening of this podcast yesterday, they played the first game of the World Series. And I believe right before game time, it was 103 degrees. And if I am not mistaken, I believe that is the hottest temperature ever recorded at the World Series. That's how hot it was. And son of a bitch, man, I live in Marina Del Rey. I'm a mile from the Pacific Ocean. It never gets this hot here in Marina Del Rey. It gets hotter than a motherfucker in the valley, out there in the desert, everywhere. And it gets hot here in Marina Del Rey, too, don't get me wrong. But shit, we're not used to 100 degrees, so hell, it reminded me of being in South Texas. I walked from, over here back to the house, and it was hotter than a motherfucker. I couldn't believe it. It's starting to cool off a little bit. I think in the next few days we'll get a cooling trend over here, and I will be long gone. If you've been listening to me talk on this podcast, You probably know I'll be heading down to Nevada. I'm going to leave this weekend, drive down, head into the Reno Sparks Spanish Springs area, load up with my brother-in-law. I'll probably spend a night over at his house, and then we're going to get in his pickup truck and head down to the unit there in Nevada. I believe I will be hunting in Humboldt County, and I don't remember which particular unit I'm hunting. I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to getting on the road. I had a good time the other day sighting my gun in, getting on the targets, getting back at the range, and it was just awesome. So the biggest thing I'm looking forward to, and I don't really care if I get anything on this hunt or not, it was a landowner tag that I bought. I could give a rat's ass. I want to get out of Los Angeles. I want to get out of the concrete jungle. I want to get in the seat of a utility vehicle and just ride around on the mountains and glass and look through my binoculars and just fuck around. From what I understand about the camp, I know myself and Mitch, my brother-in-law, will be there, of course. He's the guide. I don't know that territory. I don't know that land. Shit, man, I'd need a compass and a GPS device to keep my ass from getting lost out there. You talk about some big territory. But I think maybe a couple of the guys from the camp might be there. I don't know. I'm going to cook all my damn food. I'm going to throw it in my ice chest. Maintaining my eating program. Still have my cheat meal every now and then. Of course, I got to have a glass of whiskey every now and then with the guys. We'll get back at camp after a day of hunting. But shit, man, I'm just looking forward to getting out there and just being in the middle of fucking nowhere. Shit. Anyway, hey, man, my guest today here on the podcast is Ted Fowler 361, my old buddy. And you guys wanted him back? Well, I brought his ass back. And man, I came over here to 317 Gimmick Street last night, and I came over here with a glass of whiskey and a big old cup of ice and struck up a Skype conversation with Teddy. And we shot the breeze for 2 hours, just laughing and joking and having a good time. And there's some serious business talking about the rebuilding efforts after Hurricane Harvey, which landed right there in Rockport where Teddy lives. The rebuilding process and the headaches, hassles, and the horseshit that goes along with that. And then we pick it up and we start shooting the breeze and laughing and joking and talking about the good old days from the Broken Skull Ranch. We talk for about an hour, so you're going to hear Ted on this podcast. And then I asked you guys, if you had any questions for Teddy, send them the questions at steveaustinshow.com, and you did just that. So next Thursday will be Ted Fowler again while I'm out there in the middle of nowhere in Nevada. And Ted will be answering the questions that I will be asking him that you sent to my email. I appreciate everybody that sent me questions. If you will keep the questions coming in, I do need some content for my podcast before I return in about a week and a half to get some more guests live and in living color here in front of me. So thank you very much for your help. And I got a couple of good guests lined up, and you're going to enjoy it while I'm gone. But anyway, Ted Fowler is coming up on this podcast, and he's coming up next Thursday. Next Tuesday, I'm talking to Chad Ward, a Whiskey Bent Barbecue Supply Company. He's a competitive barbecue cook-off guy, makes his way all across the United States, cooking up briskets, chickens, everything, competitive cooking. And he's also a representative for Traeger Grills. I have a great conversation with him, man. It's barbecue and pro wrestling. He's going to drop some 411, some information on how to cook a damn good brisket, chicken. We talk about pellet grills, technology, old stick burning stuff from guys that were smoking stuff from back in the day. And talking to Chad is easy because the dude just got the gift of gab, and he's just a really cool guy. So you'll enjoy that conversation. Get your notepad out if you want to get some notes on how to cook something on your grill, whether you just got a regular smoker or whatever you're using. You can get some tips from Chad. He knows it all. Came by the house here today at 317 Gimmick Street, and then back to Ted Fowler for the next Thursday. And then I should be pretty close to wrapping it up and coming home from Nevada. I think I'll probably try to record a podcast on my way through Sparks. When I make my stops, maybe I'll pick up the microphone and talk for 10 or 15 minutes and document my journey. And if I don't do that, I'm sure I'll be talking to Mitch, my brother-in-law, while we're down there hunting, have some hunting stories. I'll damn sure have some hunting stories. And like I said, I don't give a shit if I get anything or not. I'm going to see some country that I have never seen before. And that's probably, well, no doubt about it, it's what I'm looking forward to most. But anyway, hell, enough of me running my trap. Ted Fowler 361, my buddy, is coming up next. But first, let me give you the heads up on Alpha Brain from Onnit. Alpha Brain is a safe and natural supplement that helps support memory, focus, and cognitive function. Does it sound too good to be true? Well, the Boston Center for Memory found otherwise when it conducted a double-blind study showing its effectiveness. Alpha Brain has been the secret weapon of champion athletes and business professionals for years, and now it's available for you to try free by going to onnit.com/Steve. All you have to do is pay $4.99 for shipping, and they'll send you a 30-count bottle of Alpha Brain right away. This is the same 30-count bottle of Alpha Brain that sells on onnit.com for $34.95. And through this special offer, you can get it just by paying $4.99 for shipping. It's gluten-free, caffeine-free, made of earth-grown ingredients, and most importantly, it works. Onnit is only able to offer a limited number of free bottles per day, so go get your free bottle of Alpha Brain now by going to onnit.com/Steve. That's onnit.com/Steve to get your free bottle of Alpha Brain now.
Hey, it's Jay Moore, and it is time, finally, for America's Lakers podcast. That's right. I'm going to be hosting America's Lakers podcast. My man, Aaron Larsoul, an analytical genius, he's going to bring to the table what I can't every Wednesday. America's Lakers podcast exclusively at podcastone.com, the podcastone.com app, which I highly recommend. You can rate and review this podcast on all Apple products. And guess what we're not going to do? We're not going to bathe in the gossip and the gratuitous negativity that's been swallowing Los Angeles whole lately. Who did what? Who snitched? Who said what? How about truth? How about facts? How about statistics? How about rotations? What's Luke Walton thinking? Who's underperforming? Who's overachieving? Who's rewarded? Who's coming? Who's going? And what are we going to do with all the delightful, delicious cap space? America's Lakers podcast with me, Jay Moore, and my man, my brother, Aaron Larsoul, every Wednesday, podcastone.com.
This is Steve Austin Unleashed.
All right, I'm rolling sound over here with Ted Fowler, 361 on Other End of the Line, down in Rockport, Texas. I'm over here at 317 Gimmick Street. Teddy Fowler, 361 on Twitter and Instagram. Sir, how are you doing?
Dude, I'm good. I'm tired, but I'm good, man. Holding, you know, hanging in there.
I've been doing media interviews all day for Broken Skull Challenge. I thought I'd hit you with my new style of interviewing. I'm just fucking with you. Hey, can you hear that ceiling fan in a goddamn distance?
No, dude, I can't hear shit.
God damn, you talk about a hot motherfucker. L.A., man, we just got finished spending about 5 days out there in Nevada staying with Mitch. God damn, dude, I went over to the department store, a big-ass sporting goods store, to get me some cold weather clothes for my mule deer hunt. And god damn, you know, it's pretty cold up there. And we came right back here to L.A. and expecting, you know, normal weather, and there's a heat wave rolling through this motherfucker. And I was over here today, and I ain't got no air conditioning over here, and I walked outside, and I was sweating my ass off indoors. I was in the shade and had the ceiling fan going. I got outside. I said, holy fuck, what's going on here? Dude, it was 100 degrees here in Marina Del Rey, and I know you've only been out here a few days, but goddamn, that's about, in my 13 years of being out here in Los Angeles, that's the hottest it's ever been in the marina. It's probably hotter than it was in Rockport today.
Oh, dude, and most of the people down there living on the ocean really don't have air conditioning. And I mean, central AC, you may have a window AC unit or something like that. Yeah, so for it to be 100, you know, yeah, that's bacon, that's for sure.
Goddamn, dude.
Hey, dude, it was about 90 here today. You know, it was about 90, but it's nice and cool. Right now, I've actually got the windows open in the house. You know, it's probably 70 now. It'll get down to, you know, maybe 65 during the night. God, so it's actually getting comfortable down here.
Do you know things have shifted when I'm going to sell my shit in Los Angeles so I can go down to Rockport and get in cooler weather?
Well, you better bring a bunch of sandwiches because ain't no goddamn restaurants open down here.
Yeah. Goddamn, it's been a while since we were talked on the podcast, and of course we talk on the phone every now and then. But yeah, you've been busier than shit, and I was getting ready for this podcast, and I'll get to some questions that people sent in on email here in a little bit. But I said, man, I'm talking to Ted Fowler. It's the back end of October. Normally, about this time, I'm getting ready to spool up, head out of Los Angeles, and get down to the Broken Skull Ranch. and spend, you know, 2 months and 1 week in January doing the hunting thing. And obviously that's not going to happen this year because I sold a ranch. I said, I got to get a little atmosphere in this motherfucker. So I busted out a couple of neon signs. I got my Pearl Beer sign out that used to be in the pavilion. I've got my neon Don't Mess with Texas sign out. I got the lights dimmed down low. I got the ceiling fan on low so I don't completely just burst into flames and just for old time's sake. On my cheat day, I decided to make a Blanton, a little stiff on the rocks, extra shot of Blanton's extra rock, and I'm good to go for a conversation. You got anything on the, in front of you over there, Teddy, or are you just doing this with a glass of ice water?
Shit, dude. It hasn't gotten that bad. No, dude, I'm still Jack and Coke, heavy on the Jack.
Hey, man, what's going on down in Rockport? I know a lot of people have questions about it, but, dude, how busy you been?
Oh, dude, my phone rings, you know, from sunup to sundown, and even after sundown, you know, when everybody texting me needing, you know, just everything. And more than anything, people are asking for advice, you know, because they know that I'm straight up and I'm from here. So, you know, if they get accosted by somebody that's from out of town, because, dude, you know the drill. Something like this happens and all of the storm chasers come in trying to turn a buck. You know, and I've got people, longtime customers saying, you know, hey, dude, I know you don't do this, but, you know, what do you think of this price? It's like, man, it's a totally different ball game down here now from a business standpoint. But I mean, I'm busy as hell, and everybody has swooped in to partake. But you know what? In their defense, we couldn't do it on our own. You know, right. So I mean, it's a necessary evil. We need it. You know, but there's some hanky shit going on down here, I'm telling you.
Like what? What kind of bullshit?
Oh, dude, these people come in from out of town and they don't understand windstorm. They don't understand, you know, the IBC, you know, the International Building Code as it pertains to Inland One down here. You know, there's no way in hell that a guy that lives in Oregon knows what we're doing down here, and it doesn't make any sense to them. You know, so you've got people from different states. I mean, I ain't talking different towns. I'm talking different states that have moved in, and they're replacing windows and sidings and doing new roofs for people. And in most places, four nails on a shingle is sufficient. But down here in Inland One, you got to have six nails. You know, so to try to teach an old dog new tricks, so to speak, you know, these guys are bucking the system. And it's like, hey, you know what? You've got to do things the way that the windstorm people, you know, require it, or it doesn't pass, you know, that's very simple. Now, the problem is most homeowners don't understand that. They have a salesman come up to their door and say, hey, you know what, man, we can fix your roof. We can change your door. We can fix your glass. We can do all that stuff. Just sign here on the dotted line and give us the check that the insurance company gave you, and we'll make it all better. Well, they're finding out that ain't happening, because the local windstorm people are doing their job. And they're not letting shit pass that, you know, isn't windstorm, you know, compliant.
Well, dude, what's the morale of the city? I mean, I last time we talked, we on the podcast, it was interesting, because I was telling people, we had a phone call a while back, and you finally listened to that podcast, and you're like, dude, I don't even remember doing that. And I'd said on the podcast, I said, man, I said, I really think Ted had a version of PTSD, and I think he did, and maybe you'd agree as well, but what do you remember about that podcast? Let's start there.
Dude, I'm going so hot and heavy right now. I was when I was driving home, and I figured we were going to touch on this. I can't even remember what I had for breakfast today. I don't even remember if I had breakfast. You know what I mean? It's like my mind is so spaced out with everything that's going on. You know, I've got three different notebooks that I'm writing stuff down in, trying to juggle all of that stuff. You know, but getting back to the podcast, dude, man, the only thing I really remember is when you and I spoke, you know, off air. I was like, dude, you know, just make sure everybody knows that we're not laughing at the situation. We're just, you know, it's that nervous laughter.
Right.
That, dude, that's really, I remember telling you, you know, the story about, you know, what was going on. But, dude, I can't really remember too much of it. You know, I still remember I was a scared son of a bitch. Yeah, no, dude, that's the real deal. And I've run into a ton of customers that, you know, asked me what was going on. you know, where I went during the storm. And I was like, dude, I went to the end of Prairie Road and dug in like a tick.
Yeah.
You know, and they all want to hear the story. They all want me to relive, you know, the whole thing. And dude, you know me, I mean, I can tell a good story. And these people are just sitting there wide eyed and they're like, you know, dude, you are a badass son of a bitch. And it's like, no, dude, I'm dumb. I'm a fucking idiot for Stan. Because right. Trust me, the next time something like this hits, I will be leading the exodus out of this fucking town. Yeah. Everybody, hey, follow me. Follow me. Yeah. No, dude, I didn't stay, you know, because I thought I was tough. You know, man, it's poor planning on my part.
Well, as always, you know, when growing up in Edna, Victoria, and always going down there to Port O'Connor and Rockport too, you always think, and I was never in harm's way like you were, but you know, tornadoes pass through, hurricanes come and go, and you think, hey man, well, you know, they always say it's just going to be the bad one, and everybody rides them out to a large degree. But then, yeah. Boy, all of a sudden, this thing comes and said, hey man, get the fuck out of Dodge. So next time I say get the fuck out of Dodge, you go.
Yes, yeah, and I'll tell you what, now that I'm driving around and I'm on, you know, on the ground, looking at this stuff that happened, dude, I am very fortunate with the minimal amount of damage that I incurred here at the house. But dude, I'm more upset that my protein feeder on the backside of my property got all screwed up. You know, and I mean, of all things to be bummed about, you know, I'm driving around looking at people's houses that, you know, are a total loss. I mean, just a tear down, scrape it down to the dirt and start over. You know, it's like, man, I can't, you would have to see it with your own eyes to, you know, to really wrap your brain around what was going on here. You know, dude, it's a trip. It's something else.
Well, I know seeing it in person has got to be a whole different thing, but just like when you were sending me pictures from back in the day when that thing first happened, you're like, hey, man, I put the roof on this thing, or I did the deck on this, yeah. Or I did this on that, and then everything that you'd done or helped on had been shredded. And, you know, like, well, you know, you had your heart and soul in those places that those people had their whole lives and all their hard work, you know, that was their homes, and it just got torn to pieces. And, you know, I get to hear the pain, and, you know, in your text messages, in your pictures. And then, you know, it was weird, but that podcast was interesting. And you think the population of Rockport will decrease and some people will get out of Rockport as a result of the storm?
Oh, absolutely, dude. They've already spooled up and left. I mean, on my street, you know, there's been three people that I know of that have lost their house, and dude, they're gone. I mean, you know, there's nothing going on there. So they've spooled up and left. The grade school, the junior high, and the high school have all been damaged so bad that they're shuttling kids to the neighboring towns. And I mean, you know, I've talked to some of the kids that work at the lumberyard. You know, that have small children. They're like, dude, I got to get up at 5 a.m. and drive my kid because the buses won't come here to pick them up to take them to Aransas Pass. So these people got to get up at 5 a.m., wake their kid up, make them, you know, a biscuit or whatever, take him to the school, drop him off, turn around and haul balls back to Rockport. So the husband can work during the day. The wife gets off early to go to Aransas Pass to pick the kid up. You know what I mean? It's a tremendous inconvenience. So the people are just saying, you know what? The hell with it. Let's move to San Antonio. Let's move to San Marcos. Let's get the hell out of here. We got no house. Taking the kid back and forth to school is a pain in the ass. You know, so let's leave. Yeah, they anticipate at a minimum 30% loss of the population because of the storm.
God damn, what's that going to whittle Rockport down to?
Probably 8,000, 7 or 8,000. Now, on the flip side, from a business or from a money opportunity, an investment opportunity, there's already lots that have for sale signs on them where they, you know, they cleaned all of the damaged stuff off. They put a for sale sign on. Those people pulled a Hank, got their insurance money, and got the hell out. You know, so they're selling their lot. You can't blame them.
Right.
You know, I mean, dude, it's a catch 22 because a lot of these people had a house that built in the 70s, in the 80s, wasn't up to current windstorm specifications. People don't have a tremendous amount of money, so, you know, they may not have been able to have as much insurance, you know, as would have been necessary in, you know, a situation like this. So, you know, they've got a house that's valued at 50 grand. and it gets leveled. And after their deductible, you know, and all of the BS that goes on with the insurance company, you know, they get $30,000, get a check for 30 G's. Dude, you can't build a doghouse, you know, for 30 G's. Right. So what are you going to do? You know, and you can't buy a manufactured home and put it on here because of the zoning restrictions. You can't, you know, buy a trailer. You can't do that. You know, dude, and of that 30 grand, by the time the insurance companies, and this isn't a knock on those guys. I mean, it is what it is. By the time the insurance company, you know, saw a little daylight and issued a check, well, these people have been living on credit for, you know, 30, 40, 50 days. You know, so of the 30 grand they got, you know, they've got $6,000-$8,000 of living expenses that they got to pay back. So that number is cut down again. All of the rebuilding that's going on now has to be to current windstorm codes and current building codes. Dude, the price to build stuff per foot before the storm was about, for just a regular average home, was about $140 to $160 a foot. Now it starts off at about $250 a foot.
God damn, big difference.
Yeah, dude. So, you know, I mean, if you're just, you know, just a regular blue collar guy, it's like, dude, you can't, you know, shit, you got nowhere to go. You got family up in San Antonio, Houston, Austin, right, and you got to go live with those guys. And, you know, there you go. Pull your kids out of school. You know, more people leaving. Put a for sale sign on your lot, and you know you got to keep working.
It's hard to sad to hear that's what's happening, but you know, you and I were talking on all our phone calls in between the two podcasts, you know, we kind of knew a lot of that was going to happen. You call it, you saw the insurance shenanigans, and you know, a lot of it's straight up, but there's some bullshit that's been done out there. And you know, with the price per square foot going up, you kind of saw that coming. What have you been focusing on? I mean, what are you doing, dude? I mean, I know you got into the roofing business. How'd you do that? And what are you trying to focus your stuff? Is it rebuilding stuff? Is it just, is it framing stuff up, throwing roofs on houses? You were building piers and shit like that before the storm. What is your focus on right now with everybody needing shit, everything, and then all these out-of-staters coming in, swooping in for an opportunity to make some money? What are you doing? How do you stay busy? I mean, I know you're busy. What are you doing?
Dude, I started a roofing business just because all of my customers were calling me up and they were basically asking me to do their roof. You know, they're like, and you got to remember, Rockport is a small town. You know, that whole small town, small mind, everybody knows each other. Everybody trusts each other. There is a big distrust of out-of-state and out-of-town people. You know what I mean? There's Texas and then there's the rest of the world.
Right.
You know that. Okay, so I've got all these customers that are calling me up, and you know, a number of older people, and they're like, hey, dude, you know what? I just don't get a good feeling about this guy. And I'm like, hey, you know what? Let me try to get some of the roofers that I know to get you hooked up. Well, they're covered up. And finally, you know, I had an opportunity with Weasel. He told me, he said, hey, man, I got a guy that's just like you. He's a straight shooter. He's up there in the Austin area. He does roofs. If you partnered up with him, you know, that would be the best thing for everybody. So I met this kid. His name's Brad Hobbs. Good, solid, solid cat, man. I can't say enough about him. Talked to him for a couple of hours. We're on the same page. I went to my insurance lady and I said, hey, you know what? I'm getting in the roofing business. And she's like, I want to be your first one. I said, now you realize I've never done this before. She's like, I do not care. She goes, I know you and I know how you are. You're going to pick up on it. You're going to learn it and you're going to be fine. And I want to be your first one. You know, so we signed her up and just hit the ground running. And now it's, you know, referral after referral after referral, where all these people are ringing my phone and they're like, dude, I heard you're in the roofing business. And I'm like, yeah, you know, because I had no idea it was going to take off like this, which is cool.
Right.
Because you know what, man, it gives me a real good feeling of satisfaction to help these people out because they trust me. You know what I mean? And I go there and I say, hey, you know what, I will take care of everything. All you have to do is write checks. You just write checks. I will take care of everything from start to finish. You know, and if you don't like what we did, don't pay me and tell everybody that you come across that I was the biggest piece of shit and it was a huge calamity. But if you're happy with what I did, just let your friends know. You know, I'm not running around sticking, you know, yard signs on every corner like, you know, all of these yahoos are. You know, I'm getting phone calls from, you know, hey, man, I'm a friend of so-and-so, and I heard you're doing roofs. And I'm like, yep. And I'm transparent. I've done six of them so far. You can be number seven. How's that feel? And they're like, dude, yeah. You know, we've been in business since 2017. You know, we've got 82 days of experience. You know? But people are like, man, they're comfortable with me. I've got a good rep. And they're like, dude, you're from here. You got the job. It's like, all right.
Yeah, and I'm not blowing your horn, but I mean, dude, we just remodeled our house, and it just turns out that we were so fortunate to have a contractor that lives right in the same neighborhood with us. He's old school. He's about 65 years old, and he's just, man, he's solid. I mean, he's like you and me solid. And if he tells you he's going to do something, it's done right. And so, you know, that's your reputation in Rockport. And so, yeah man, and I know you. I mean, hell, the damn 10 years that we hung around there at the goddamn ranch, if you said you was going to do something, you did it. Or half the shit that I didn't know about, you took the time to learn about it and get on a computer and do all the fucking manuals and stuff like that. So, you know, that's a testament to, you know what, you know, being a man of your word, doing hard, good, quality work. And again, I ain't blowing smoke up Ted Fowler Construction, none of that, but, you know, that's always been, you know, who you are. So, you know, it comes down to a shitty situation, and it's too bad that Hurricane Harvey came in here and fucked everything up. But, you know, when, you know, you are in the business you are, that you're in, you know, people need your help. And so, dude, when you've got the kind of reputation you've got, you know, it does facilitate business. So it's good that you branched out. And, dude, if I had a place down there, you would be roof number eight.
You know, dude, and I meet people just, you know, they heard about me from, you know, the city of Rockport. They heard about me from, you know, Seaside Decorating. They heard about me from Pro Build. So I go and meet and talk to these people. And yeah, a lot of them are older folks, and this is their, you know, their second home. And I, you know, I'll sit there and, you know, just rap with them for, you know, 30, 40 minutes. And I'm like, hey, you know what? I'm going to talk to you, you know, very candidly, because that's, you know, there's no reason to not speak candidly. I'll tell you what to look out for as a consumer. I will tell you what the requirements are, you know, as far as windstorm and insurance. And you know what? I'm not telling you to use me or my company. I'm just trying to smarten you up because, you know, as a consumer, you guys don't know. And I didn't know before the storm, but now I've been covered up with this stuff and I'm learning as I go, and I know what to look out for, and I know what the out of town people are doing and how it's going to jump back and bite them in the ass, and what the going rate of, you know, products should be, and the steps that people have to go through. And I'm telling homeowners, I got nothing to hide. You know, man, if as a contractor, you don't like me because I'm stirring the pot by telling the consumer what to look out for, fuck you. I don't care. You know, and then people are like, you know, you're terribly honest. I'm like, why not? You know, I mean, I look at it like this, dude. If I don't do my part to try to smarten people up and they get fucked, isn't part of that on me? You know what I mean? If I knew something and I didn't tell a homeowner, yeah, I'm not going to them saying, these guys suck, you need to use me. I'm not doing that at all. You
yeah,
know,
by the same token, I bet Ted, if somebody from North Carolina or wherever the hell contractor came in and he was doing just badass quality work and you're covered up, I'm sure you'd be the first to say, hey man, so-and-so, he's not from here, but he's got his shit together and you get to know him and he's a man of his word. I mean, I'm sure you'd be the first to spread the word about good work.
Oh, dude, you're absolutely right. You know, the problem is, you know, that hasn't happened yet. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that everybody's doing hack work. That is not what I'm saying at all. But if I ran across a contractor where I sat back and went, you know, holy shit, this guy's good. This guy knows what's going on. I would spread his name to, you know, lighten some of the load off of me. You know, now I'll say this, dude, Rockport being a small town, a lot of people got in here years ago. Now remember, I've been here 13 years. When I first started, there was a lot of, you know, dodgy contractors doing, you know, some pretty piss poor stuff. And over time, they just worked themselves out of Rockport. They, you know, because their reputation pushed them out. As work started to slow down, and all the shitty contractors had to spool up and leave right after the storm. I've seen about five of those guys back in town now taking advantage of the whole situation. And it's like, man, you weren't good enough to make it when things were good. And now that the storm is here, you're back here chasing the buck. Yeah.
Well, goddamn it. Hey, man, let's, now we kind of, you know, just got the whereabouts of what you're doing and the storm situation. And, man, my thoughts and my heart goes out to everybody that was displaced and, you know, the checks and all the situation that it is. Dude, let's take a pause for the calls and come back after a break and shoot the breeze. And, I got some, questions that people sent in, the questions at steveaustinshow.com. They heard you was going to be on the show. I got some questions of those. Also, I got a couple of bullshit stories. I'm going to bounce off your ass. I just, as you were talking, you might have heard it. Go ahead.
Have I got time to make another cocktail?
Yeah, you do. Right before you, right where you were talking, before I go into commercial break here, Callie was over here in my black lab. She's about 7 months old now, and I was tossing a tennis ball back and forth where she's catching it, and she brings it back to me. And then she just sits it on the carpet. And if you don't throw it, then she just barks at you, because when that tennis ball's on the ground, that means you're supposed to throw it. So I don't know if you heard that little squelch in there, but I kept throwing the tennis ball for her, got her to shut the fuck up. Man, that dog, you talking about a hell of a dog. That dog has some personality. She is going to be a good dog. She is a piss cutter. She's got an attitude. She's a little bit mouthy, likes to use her teeth on stuff. But, you know, labs, as you know, because you're a lab owner and German Shorthair owner, just labs kind of get better with age. She's got all the makings of being a great dog. And I thought Mula was going to be next up and kind of, you know, Mula would never take Hershey's place in my heart, but take her place by my side and jump in a pickup truck and a Bronco and go riding with me. But Mula's kind of a, you know, she's kind of an inside dog, and she's kind of probably a little bit of a mama's girl. She probably likes Kristen.
Right.
And she loves me, but she's not that dog like Hershey was. And Hershey, man, you know, she was my buddy. We went everywhere together. But yeah. Callie has a little bit of that personality. And I always think, you know, I remember had like the white labs or the goldens, whatever they're called. But I've always had, you know, we had black labs, chocolate labs, and now we have the silver lab, which is Mula. And that black lab and the chocolate lab, just a little bit different temperament. And I think your dog, your chocolate lab, Cassie, was kind of like Hershey, my chocolate lab. They're kind of like, they're pleasers, and they're very, the ones I've met, the ones I've had, are very calming. And Callie's not as calming, but she's a buddy dog. And so when I come over here to 317 Gimmick Street and start, man, if I rattle those keys, dude, she's on my heels. If I'm getting ready to get in the pickup truck, now she jumps up in the pickup truck. So I'm starting to get a little bit of a buddy system going on here. But anyway, I'm rambling right here. I'm about to take a commercial break. I'm talking to Ted Fowler, 361, on Twitter and on Instagram. He's coming to me from Rockport, Texas. Y'all send in some questions to my email. We're going to answer those. Also, I got a couple of bullshit stories. I'm going to run by Ted, see if he's got any for me. All right, let's take a quick pause for the calls and give big ups to a sponsor who makes this podcast possible, and that's TrueCar. When you're looking to buy a car, it's important that you're getting real pricing on actual inventory. Often enough, this is not the case, as people configure cars online only later to find out they're not available. But with TrueCar, you can get real pricing on actual inventory. This is not pricing from TrueCar, but from an actual dealer, and even more so, a local certified dealer of your choosing that is committed to offering you a competitive market price. TrueCar users are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process when they connect with TrueCar certified dealers. There are over 13,000 TrueCar certified dealers nationwide. When you're ready to buy, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
Hey, everybody, it's Shaq. Have you had a chance to check out the number one podcast on Podcast One? That's right, The Big Podcast with Shaq. Me and my co-hosts, John Kincaid and Rob Jenners, we have a blast. With way more than just sports, we have the biggest guests from entertainment to the NBA. I promise you've never, ever heard a show like this. The Big Podcast with Shaq, with a new episode every Monday at PodcastOne.com.
This is Steve Austin, Unleashed.
Goddamn, dude, while you were sitting there telling stories, Kristen came in, because right before you called, I just fired up my Traeger pellet grill, and goddamn, dude, do you have a pellet grill, or you just got a propane grill?
No, just regular propane.
Oh, man, I tell you what, I got this damn grill a couple of months ago while I was filming Broken Skull Challenge, and you talk about a game changer. Dude, I'm a propane guy because I'm ADD. I ain't got time. And, you know, I'm ready to cook my shit and just get on to the next thing. As you know, from all the days and years at the ranch, my dad was a charcoal briquette guy. And he'd get that old Dome Weber. And you seen it a million times, dude.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be over there. We have the doors rolled up on a pavilion. It's colder than fuck. And he's over burning his coals, his briquettes in, getting ready to put his chicken or sausage or his boudin on.
And, you know, that was how he rolled. And, man, I got turned on these pellet grills, and son of a bitch, they, when you put something on a grill, dude, you know, like with propane, if you're burning a steak, you know, you got to flip that thing over, you know, a time or two. Or same thing with chicken, usually. And, but with the pellet grill, the way it circulates that heat, you know, once you close that lid, you ain't got to do shit. You just put it in there. Now, if you're really smoking something, which I ain't got the time to do that, but I cook chicken breast in there and I cook salmon in there every night. And goddamn, dude, it makes such a flavor. But right when we were about to, I was starting up the grill, I was going to eat. And you said, hey, man, give me an hour to chill down after work and I'll give you a call and we'll do the podcast. So, man, I just started heating my grill up. It takes about 15 minutes to get that thing going. And you sent me a text, I'm ready. So I told Kristen, I said, well, fuck. I said, man, I got to go do a podcast with Teddy. He's ready to go. And she said, well, okay, I'll just cook your fish and I'll bring it over to you. So I was sitting over here flapping my gums, listening to you, drinking my drink. And she set that piece of salmon in front of me. And I was trying to eat it quietly. If anybody heard me eating salmon, God almighty, you talk about delicious, dude. But my story, my story is not to tell you how good a fucking pellet grill is. My story is to tell you, if you own a pellet grill or if you own any kind of grill, do not attempt to clean the grill while it is on fire and burning. Because Teddy, yesterday I was trying to cook my salmon and I was trying to start that grill up and the motherfucker wouldn't start up. And I said, God damn it. I haven't been cooking a whole lot on it, but I guess the sumbitch is dirty. And so picture a barrel, horizontal, on four legs. Okay, and then you put a lid on it and you open it up, right, Teddy? At the bottom, there's a circle. And horizontally, there's an auger, and that runs your pellets, and just like protein pellets, into that little circular device in the middle of that horizontal barrel, which is a grill, a smoker. And there's an igniter flame that's where it starts, and that's how it burns your pellets. And there's a diffuser that goes on the top of that. Then there's a belly pan, which spreads out the flame. Then there's the grill, which you place your food on. So I had this thing, you know, all disassembled, and I finally got it up and running. And I realized I didn't put that next plate on there, that kind of diffuser, and I was just burning the bottom of that belly pan. And I'm thinking, God damn it, I forgot to put that one piece back where it belongs. So that flame was going full speed ahead, and I'm out there with these oven gloves that are about two sizes too small. And because my illustrious wife is in there, you know, fixing her vegetarian dinner, I'm out there with an LED flashlight stuck between my teeth trying to put this fucking pellet grill together. Dude, I got about a 3-inch burn mark on my left forearm from where it touched the scalded hot-ass metal. And I got black soot all over the goddamn cement. And anyway, I got the sumbitch back together, but I tell you what, I thought I was going to burn myself to death. If you own a pellet grill, if you own anything, when it's operating, I would recommend, highly recommend, that you don't try to work on the motherfucker while it's going. Kristen came out there and she said, well, don't you think you ought to shut it down? I said, as you know, Ted, you've known me and Kristen about the same time. She's a lot smarter than I am. I said, no, goddammit, I got it. And sure enough, I got a second degree burn on my left forearm. I got shit everywhere. And anyway, I just shut the whole operation down after that. And then my other story is, you've been to my house before.
Yeah.
And we had a little black cat that started showing up over in the alley. And, you know, we're dog people. And I like cats. I've never owned a cat. I'm cool with cats. But, you know, I'm just not a cat person. But there's a black cat over here. And Kristen said, oh, that's cool. I'll start feeding it. I said, I'm down with that. I'm cool with cats, but we don't need one. And it's doing fine on its own. Someone owns it. So anyway, she puts the food out over here beside the house. And she asked me every single day. She goes, hey, did the cat eat its food? So I got to go over there and see if the goddamn cat ate its food. Or she'll ask me, did you see the cat today? I said, no, I didn't see the cat today. Well, I got a Ford Bronco, Teddy, my white and silver one, parked out in front of my house. And because all of the shit here in Los Angeles just comes out of the sky, you can't just wash your car and just let it sit out in the open. Because living here in the mean streets of Los Angeles, the soot, the smog, and all the bullshit would just coat that motherfucker and then the drippings off the trees. So I kept a car cover on that sumbitch. Well, while we was down there in Nevada visiting Mitch, my car cover blew off that motherfucker. My neighbor was kind enough to come over here and throw it behind my sliding gate. And so I said, well, shit. Kristen got on my ass. She said, you know, you really haven't done too much today. Why don't you go put your car cover on your Bronco? And I said, well, okay, if you're going to get hot about it, I will. So I went over there and I looked at the Bronco and I realized that the cover had been off long enough that I needed to wash the son of a bitch before I put the car cover back on. So the fact is, Teddy, I'm going to get up first thing tomorrow morning and drive down to the car wash because nobody in Los Angeles washes their own car in the driveway because there's a water shortage and that's just LA. So the car wash that I use is about 3 blocks away. So I figured, well, I'm going to get my jumper battery and I'm going to go over and turn the key in that son of a bitch and make sure it'll start. It's been a while since I've driven it. The battery might be dead, and I'm not going to get out there at 7 in the morning trying to get the early bird special at the car wash, and my Bronco won't turn over. So I unlocked the door. I climbed inside the cockpit. It felt good to be back in my 99% original, 41,000 original mile Ford Bronco. I turned the key, Teddy, and guess what?
The fucking cat went to squalling.
God damn it. You motherfucker. Now, first of all, you stole my punchline, but I didn't hear it squall. So I turn the key and that son of a bitch starts running and it just starts purring like a kitten. No pun intended. And I sat there and I'm just waiting and it's been running for about 5, 6, 7 seconds. And I hear a kroop. Kind of like a hiccup in my motor. I'm like, God damn it, what the fuck was that? Because I got so many leaves on the son of a bitch, I thought something got up in my motor. And all of a sudden, I see this black cat hauling ass diagonally across the road, running like a motherfucker. And I'm thinking, God damn it, that son of a bitch was in the fan shroud by the radiator or got caught up in a belt or something. And that motherfucker come boiling out of there, shooting across the street. But as I'm watching it, I'm thinking, God damn, I hope it didn't hurt my motor. I feel bad for the pussycat, but I'm really hoping there's nothing wrong with my motor. And that son of a bitch made my motor hiccup and ran across the street. And I'm like, God damn it. The cat, I think, is okay. And I popped the hood on my fucking Ford Bronco to see if I could find, you know, dude, it's like looking for a deer sometime in the woods. You're looking for hair, you're looking for blood, you're looking for anything.
Yeah.
So I popped the hood on my 95 Bronco looking for damage, and it looks like it's all square, but Kristen came out right about that time, and she goes, hang on, this goddamn FedEx truck is passing by out here. Fucking mean streets of Los Angeles are killing me, Teddy. We got to talk about the Broken Skull Ranch here in a minute. Anyway, Kristen came out the front gate about that time. She was handing me the stickers to put on the license plates and the goddamn insurance cards to put in the center consoles. And goddamn, you know what I mean. Dude, I got pickup trucks and Broncos strewn out all over the streets here in Los Angeles. They look like a fucking piece of trash. So I'm, you know, going about doing my business and I told her, I said, well, I said, I saw the cat today.
She said, well, had a Ford logo across the task.
Yeah, so I can't top that. It had a blue oval on its ass. And again, I believe to all the animal lovers that listen to the podcast, and I'm an animal lover myself, I'm a dog guy, but I'm cool with cats. And the cat appears to be fine. And I found that motherfucker in my Ford Bronco. And I guess that son of a bitch is nested up in there. And hell, it's like everybody is looking for a place to put some cover over its head. And I damn near burned myself to death cleaning my grill while I was on fire. Don't do that. And if you've been leaving your vehicle sitting out for a long time, if you decide to go out there and turn it over to see if it still runs, pop your hood open. Make sure there ain't a rat, a possum, a cat, or anything ain't nested up in there and got all your shit fucked up. Because, dude, I don't know how many times, you know, we've been down there, down at the ranch, where there was that raccoon that, you know, got caught in the barn and died up under my utility vehicle back in the day. Here's the other thing. I was thinking to myself, dude, you've been down this road before owning a ranch for 10 years. You should have opened that damn hood and you should have done your due diligence. You know better. And then I was thinking to myself, well, what's, you know, I'm in between a rock and a hard place here because what's the worst thing that could have happened. That cat get Ford branded across its ass wearing a blue oval, scalding ass across that street, or if I'd have popped the hood and said, hey, I wonder if there's anything up in this motherfucker, and that cat scratched the fuck out of my face and my eyeballs. So I'm driving to Nevada. Every time I pull over to gas up my goddamn vehicle or pick up a sandwich or a Diablo sandwich and use the bathroom, I got my eye patched up because I can't see out of it. I got cat scratch fever on my face. So I figure I did my due diligence. I turned the key and the cat got fucked up, but I'm cool.
Did you remember when I lifted the lid on the Kubota tractor and there was a goddamn raccoon asleep up there on top of the engine?
Yeah, because you was trapped in between that crossbeam fork and you couldn't go nowhere and you was within arm distance of a raccoon. And people, we talked about this, but there's a lot of people that have been listening to this podcast since that story, but people do not know how salty or tough a motherfucking raccoon is. And all of a sudden, when you're within arm's distance of a wild animal, and that sumbitch may only weigh 20 pounds, he will fuck your ass up.
Oh, dude, hissing, showing them teeth. You know, you were talking about burning yourself up on the grill. Remember? Remember when we went to light the brush pile with all that fucking gasoline, and it finally caught, and it whoo. And it sucked all the oxygen away. It was like, holy shit. That when you were telling me the story about burning yourself on the grill, I was reliving that deal with you and me burning that fucking brush pile. Good God.
God almighty, dude. We was trying. You talk about.
Dude, we've done some stupid shit.
Yeah, you talk about, and no pun intended, playing with fire. I mean, that's exactly what we're doing. And man, I'm telling you, we're laughing about it. Just like, you know, we were trying to, you put on a brave face last time on a podcast about Hurricane Harvey, and you know, we weren't laughing at anything. But when I'm laughing about this fire thing, to make a serious point, man, do not fuck with fire and gas. Man, I'm walking around. We had a big old, to those that are new to the podcast, we had a big ass hole dug in the ground. It was called a burn pit. That's what you do when you're in the country. You don't take your stuff to a junkyard or to the trash pickup because you don't have trash trucks coming to your ranch. You just build a burn pit and you burn everything. Man, it was time that the previous owners had dug those pits, and I wanted to burn everything up, get a bulldozer to come out there and cover all those things down and just cover it up so we didn't have it because we didn't use those things. And all that shit was in there, and I wanted the ranch to look like a state park. So Teddy and I, you know, we coated that stuff. We soaked it down with a lot of diesel, and we're both walking around with these five-gallon buckets of diesel. I got on my rubber boots. Teddy's got on his stuff, and we start using that gas. And then, you know, we was making that trail with that gas, and we thought we'd had saturated and soaked all that stuff, and it had been wet. We picked a good wet day to burn because when you're out there in South Texas or when you're anywhere, if you're going to do your burning, you don't want to do it when shit is hot and dry. You've been hearing about all these fires out here in Anaheim and Napa Valley, and I think people are starting these motherfuckers. So, dude, one thing that scares the shit out of me is fire. So anyway, yeah. God damn it. There's a couple of times I laid down a couple of gas trails and would light it with a goddamn match. And holy shit, man, when that stuff starts catching and all of a sudden it's whoop. And it's on your ass, and you got the fucking rest of the gas can in your hand with about a gallon of gas in it, man. Recipe for disaster. Dude, we was stupid as fuck. I'll put it like that.
Dude, we threw a shitload of diesel on there and couldn't get it to light. And then said, you know, fuck it, let's switch to gasoline, and threw a shitload of gasoline and still couldn't get it to light. And I forget exactly what you used to light it with, but goddamn, we were standing there. And when that thing finally did catch, I think you lit a rag and you threw it in the center of that thing. And dude, you could just feel the air around you get sucked away when that thing ignited. And man, we both were heading for the hills. It's like, you know, and neither one of us are very feet afoot. Yeah. It's like, motherfucker, we got it going there. Yeah.
Well, so, and the thing about it is, as many close calls as we have, and then, you know, of course it wouldn't start. So then you just do it again. It's like, dude, You know, how many times are you going to flirt with disaster before it ends up really biting your ass? A couple of times it nipped you, and I'll, you know, just out there just manning up. Well, I don't even want to say that, yeah. Being stupid up. And, you know, yeah. Because we had the task to do, and, dude, I'm not a rocket scientist, neither you, but you ain't a pussy, and neither am I. We had some trash to burn, so that was the task at hand, so we fucking burned the trash. End of story. But if yeah, I was no going to, if there's a moral to this story, man, if you fucking with fire and gas, you're a dumb motherfucker. Leave that to somebody else. End of story. Hey, dude.
Do not use us for a lifeline if you're trying to burn brush.
Hey, man, what was what's some of the most – someone asked me. I'm going to get to the questions here in a minute that people got to send in. I was looking on your Twitter account today, and it's TedFowler361. I think someone asked you where you're hunting this year. Did you line up anything yet? You had posted something on Twitter about going down to Mexico.
Mexico, yeah. Yeah, I've got a customer that I am overseeing the reconstruction of his house, and he's got a 10,000 acre lease in old Mexico. And he was like, you know, dude, I can't get anybody to go down to Mexico. They're all scared. He's like, you know, you're up for it, aren't you? I'm like, fuck yeah. Dude, I've been in jail down there. It's not a big deal, you know. And I'm hunted down there too. It's cool. Yeah, so I'm going to go down to old Mexico. You know, rut, tail end of December, 1st of January. So I got that. But that's really the only thing I got lined up right now.
Well, that's another question, dude. Are you going to even have the time to hunt with all the business and construction? I mean, because you were down there for a while after the storm before everybody started repairing. So I don't know how you're sitting, but I mean, are you going to be chomping at the bit to stay busy? Because when I owned the ranch, you were able to come down there for almost about a month solid. But are you going to be able to, because you're so busy, are you going to have the time to hunt?
You know what? No, I'm not, but I need to make the time, you know, because dude, I've been going 7 days a week, sun up, sundown, and you know, just absolutely, it's hard for me to string a group of thoughts together. You know what I mean? I'm all over the map. I'm trying to help everybody, but you know I need to take some time off. I mean, I didn't go dove hunting. I had a number of opportunities and I kept, you know, shrugging people off, saying no, you know, I need to help this customer, I need to do this, do that, you know. But I mean, there's only so much work you can do without taking a break, and I need to force myself to take a break. Hell, dude, we ain't fished since before the storm.
Damn.
You know, everybody is just, you know, if they're not rebuilding their own house, you know, they're contractors like me trying to help everybody. Man, you know, we were going to try to go fishing Sunday, and, you know, that didn't happen either.
Man, it was weird this year because dove season rolling around, you know, when that season kind of starts changing everything, and, you know, I never get a chance to make it down there, but I know you always do, and I just started thinking about those dove flying, and, you know, there's a lot of shit I'm going to miss about getting down to the ranch. And I'm going to miss deer hunting down there, but I'm going to be able to, on November 1st through the 5th, I'm leaving. This podcast is going to drop on a Thursday. And on Sunday, I'm heading down to Nevada on my mule deer hunt with Mitch. Got a landowner tag. I can't remember what unit I'm going to be hunting in. I'll be hunting in Humboldt County if you look that up on a map. As you know, Mitch, my brother-in-law, knows that fucking state like the back of his hand because you've been hunting.
Oh, yeah.
So... yeah. I'm looking forward to my first mule deer hunt, and he was telling me, you know, about how we're going to go about the process. And, you know, dude, have you hunted mule deer?
Yeah, I went out there, you know, 4 or 5 years ago with Mitch.
But that was a mule deer hunt. I didn't know what you guys were hunting.
Yes. Yes, that was a mule deer hunt, yes.
Dude, as you know, man, it's completely different than anything that I've done, period, and what we were doing at the Broken Skull Ranch. And the mule
deer. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and a mule deer is a totally different animal, no pun intended, than the white-tailed deer. They're both deer, but Jesus Christ, the behavior is altogether different. And the environment, the geography, the land, everything is different. And it's a whole different animal. So, dude, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm going to be confused as fuck.
Oh, dude, you know... It's glassing. It's sitting on the side of a hill for hours at a time and looking, you know, when we were hunting at the ranch, you know, you're waiting for the feeder to go off and you know the deer are coming in, you know, and you know which direction for the most part they're going to come in. But mule deer hunting, you're sitting in a bowl glassing, you know, the offside of a canyon, and dude, you're a couple of miles away. and you may see a deer, but it's so far away, you can't tell if it's a buck or a doe. And then, you know, you got to get up and hike a couple of miles just to get a better look at it. Yeah. Dude, so it is different.
You're saying exactly what he said. He goes, man, mm-hmm. we're going to start off, we're going to glass. And he goes, I prefer you look at the short range stuff, you know, out 500 yards, you know, 800 yards, and I'll check out the far stuff. You know, going to the miles you're talking about. And he was telling me this story. He goes, yeah, we spotted one about 3 miles away, and then we made our approach. Now, part of the approach was, you know, taking a road with a buggy over some of the most rocky terrain that you can ever imagine, and then making mm-hmm. the stalk up to it, you know, which was probably a mile, if not more. So, you know, I'm just thinking, dude, that is very foreign to what I've been trying to do for the last 10 years, growing big deer at the Broken Skull Ranch. You would have to be, well, because of elevation changes, you couldn't see 3 miles in a straight line at the Broken Skull Ranch. One, because it's suburban country. We don't have that kind of elevation, and you just don't see animals at 3 miles and make an approach. That ain't how it works. So when I'm hearing him lay this shit down, I'm like, God damn. And I'm in that store buying all my cold weather gear, and I know I'm going to be freezing my ass off. And, dude, you hunted with Mitch. Y'all were telling me the story. Y'all were both bundled up with gloves on, shivering your ass off, and he had his bare hands out there holding his binoculars. And y'all were wondering, or y'all were thinking to yourselves, is he ribbing us? Because he didn't have his gloves on, because he wasn't selling how cold it was. So you know me, dude, I'm allergic to cold weather. So I'm going to be freezing my balls off trying to glass, and I'll probably be looking forward to seeing something to get a stalk on so I can warm my dumb ass up.
Dude, that very first day that we went out with Mitch, you're absolutely right. We went up behind his house, and we were sitting on the side of a hill, and the wind was blowing, and we were glassing, and I can remember laying on the side of the hill, and I covered up like a Michelin man, and I am shaking like a dog shit in a peach pit. It is that cold, and Mitch is sitting there, I swear to God, in like a long-sleeve T-shirt, no glove, a regular ball cap. You know, I got beanies on, I got my hood up, I got a muffler on my face. I got my muffler pulled up so high that the you know, the heat from my breath is fogging my binoculars, and Mitch is just sitting there, and he's like, you know, oh man, there's one. And I'm like, fuck that deer, man. It's cold. Yeah, dude. You know, and then when we went out and we set up that wall tent, and you know, we're drinking like fucking idiots, you know, came time to go to bed, and Mitch was like, hey dude, I'm going to turn the lantern off, and it's going to get cold, so bundle up. You know, I got up about 2 a.m. and I had to go outside and take a leak, and that was the coldest that I had ever been, you know, stepping out there, and I'm like, holy balls. Yeah, you'd get in your sleeping bag fully dressed. You know, you wasn't no stripping down to your long johns and a, you know, and a t-shirt getting in there. No, dude, it's cold. Yeah, it's something else. During the day, it's not bad. You know, I mean, it'll heat up to, you know, 40 degrees, something like that. But yeah, in the morning and in the evening, yeah, you better tie your hat on. It's going to be something else.
Hey, man, let me ask you, because before I tell you what cartridge I'm taking, what caliber did you take down there when you were hunting Nevada? Because at the ranch, you and I, for the Broken Skull Ranch, we both love a 308. We love the way it performs. Mm-hmm. Just love the recoil. We love everything about that gun. That's not what I'm taking, because I think I'm going to be shooting at a lot further distance than I'm used to shooting. So that being said, what gun did you take down there? How were you dialed in? What did you sight your scope in at?
300 Win Mag, and I was spot on at 200 yards.
Did you have a chance to get out there and shoot any long distance stuff?
No. You know, I mean, outside of, you know, initially sighting in at 200 yards, that was it. But you know, dude, you've got, don't you have that buddy that that has the range?
Yes. Yeah. And matter of fact, you brought him up. I went out there just shoot 2 days ago. It's what day of the week is it? Yeah. Tuesday? Yeah, I went out on Tuesday. Sunday afternoon. I shot him a text message. His name is Taryn Butler. He trains a lot of the top movie stars in the film business here in Los Angeles over in Simi Valley. Taryn Butler, he builds guns and all kinds of stuff. Just an awesome shot. Several-time national three-gun shooting champion. Dude, he's one of those guys, when you start talking about guns, he's a savant. And, mm-hmm. you know, he started shooting when he was a kid, and he started shooting flies. dudes with a BB gun. So anyway, fast forward all these years, just kept all the bullshit. Nice dude, super knowledgeable. I went down, I called him. I sent him a text message. I said, hey, man, can I come out and dial my 7 mag in? Because I was thinking, you know, what am I going to take? Am I going to take my 7 mag or my 300 Win mag? And I said, dude, I'm going to go with that 7 mag on those mule deer from everything that I've been reading. And I don't care if I get one or not, but that's the caliber that I decided to pick. Good flat shooting gun. And I love that 300 Win mag. That's a bad motherfucker. So he said, yeah, man, you come on out. And you know, when you and me go down to the ranch for 10 years, we love to go to the shooting range and just sit there on the table and shoot. And that's one thing that so many people don't do before they hunt is target practice. And I've got this hunt coming up, and you know, every year down at the Broken Skull, we're dialed in, we know our ranges, we know there's not gonna be too much wind, you know, we know we're gonna have a good rest. You know, I know I'm gonna have to make my own rest. I'm gonna be taking a shot with some distance, probably have to deal with some wind. And dude, I haven't had a chance to get any trigger time at all. And so I wanted to make sure that I was prepared. So I went out there and I started at 100 yards. I was just dead on, as pretty much all of my guns are at that range. I think I was an inch high. And then, you know, luckily, you know, Taryn has this place that's 20 acres, but it's like a 20-acre rectangle. So you've got distance to shoot. So he has targets all the way. First of all, he has all the stand-up, you know, walk-through houses that you do with a pistol and all that stuff, the tactical stuff. But then he has steel plates all the way out till about 400 yards. So I start dialing in at 100, and then, you know, raising it up a little bit. I'm just dead on at 200, like you said. And then at 300, with just a cunt hair of a hole over, man, I'm just zapping every steel plate out there. 300, 200, 100, reverse, 200, back to 300. No, you know what? Take it back down a little bit to the left. You know, if the wind would stop blowing in a certain direction. And I'm a decent shot. I'm not going to sit here and brag. But, you know, you and me have shot together for a long time. So I feel pretty comfortable. I think I'm going to go over there one more time just so I can be dialed in more. But if I don't, then I'll damn sure, the day before we hunt, I'll make sure my gun's dialed in and shoot again once I get down to Nevada. But that's one of the things with hunting season coming up. Man, you can't go out there with your gun and say, because you've seen this happen at my ranch with my relatives who I love to death, say, oh man, it's dead on. It was dead on at the end of last season, so it'll be ready. Not so fast, my friend. That's a whole year that has passed, and we ain't going to take a chance guessing that your gun is on, is sighted in or not after a year, whether it's been bumped or not. You got to shoot your shit in. You've got to get your shit dialed in yourself and make sure your scope is on, or at least dialed in, and you need to have a little trigger time, correct?
No, you're absolutely right. You are absolutely right. You know, and then you here, dude, shoot my gun and sight it in. No, that doesn't work either, because I'm not going to be the one shooting the deer with this thing. It's going to be you. You know, you need to practice. You need to practice. I bet, you know, if you rattle off a shot, it'll be between 200 and 300 yards, which will be, you know, new territory over what we were doing at the ranch.
Well, and that's the thing. For whitetails, you know, really the maximum shot we were taking down there in South Texas was about a $150, $160, and that's straight up honest. Yeah. And really closer than that, but that was maximum range, just because it's more of a managing type thing and a high fence setup. Now, as you and I both know, now on coyotes, hogs, and stuff like that, well then, dude, it was as far as the eye could see if it was a responsible shot.
Oh, yeah, the sky's the limit.
And I've already told Mitch, I told him, I said, dude, I said, you know, I'm dialed in for, 200-300 yards. And I said, out past that, I think I would take a shot at 350. But anything beyond that, you know, if we, and that's the thing, because rifles and glass is so good these days. And dude, this is a gun I built in 93 with Paul Orndorff, Mr. Wonderful. It's got a old school 3-10 Leopold scope, no other crosshairs. It's just, you know, a variable scope on a 7 mag with a muzzle brake, a little trigger job. It's just a stock gun that just shoots dimes. But I'm not going to, I don't care to try to, you know, look for a 400-450 yard shot, because, dude, I don't want to take that kind of shot. So if I can't get close enough, I'm fine letting that sumbitch go. And if we can sneak up on him on another day, then we will do just that.
Oh, dude, it'll be fun as shit, man. I mean, because it is a totally different kind of hunting. You know what I mean? Where you guys will sit on the side of the hill and you'll glass some deer. And if there's a buck in there you want to take a look at, you know, you'll boonie back out and you know, may or may not be able to get to the Polaris and drive around and get somewhere. You know, you're anticipating them moving in, you know, one direction, you know, east, west, north, south, whatever. You're going to try to get in front of them to get a little better view, you know, and then if you glass them up and it's a buck you want to get after, well, you know, then you take into account the wind and the thermals coming up from the valley, yep. You know, running up those hills, you know, and get to, that was the most fun. I mean, we would get up on the tops of those big, big, you know, canyons and the deer, they go down to the bottom to eat. And then in the morning, they start humping uphill because they're going to go bed. You try to get above them and try to ease over there and catch them on the way up. Oh, dude, it's fun as shit, man. I mean, it's a totally different animal than what we're used to.
Well, hey, man, you got time to answer a couple of questions that people sent in, or do you want to come back and do that on another day?
No, dude, I'm good. I'm good.
Coming right back with Ted Fowler 361 on the next episode of the Steve Austin Show. Ted Fowler is on social media, Instagram and Twitter, Ted Fowler 361.
Howdy, folks. This is good old J.R. Jim Ross, pro wrestling broadcaster and barbecue enthusiast, inviting you to join me every week for my podcast, The Ross Report, right here on Podcast One. Each week, I talk to the biggest stars in sports entertainment. We talk about the news of the day, MMA, wrestling, football, and much more. Recently, I've talked to such folks as Chris Jericho, Kane, Sonny, the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase, and Emmy winner Rory Carp. Download and listen to The Ross Report every Tuesday at PodcastOne.com, the brand new Podcast One app. And be sure, folks, to rate and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts.
All right, everybody, give me the go home cue. So I'm going to wrap up this podcast right off in the sunset. Before I do that, I want to say thanks to my buddy old Ted Fowler 361 down there in Rockport, Texas. Great catching up with him. And next week on Thursday, Ted Fowler comes back to answer the questions that you sent in. So tune in next Thursday, Tuesday's conversation with Chad Ward of Whiskey Bent Barbecue Supply Company. He's a professional barbecue cook-off champion, also a representative of Traeger Grills. He stopped by. We're going to talk competitive barbecuing, briskets, all kinds of stuff, and professional wrestling. Coming up down there in Lakeland, Florida, in the territory system, Chad is a big fan of the business of pro wrestling, and we hit it right off. Hey, man, prowrestlingtees.com/Steve Austin has all the shirts that I'm wearing on this season of Broken Skull Challenge. And the best damn IPA on the planet is Broken Skull IPA from El Segundo Brewing Company. You can also get Broken Skull IPA here in California at Whole Foods and Total Wines. If you don't live in California, check insidetheseller.com and see if they ship to your state. And if you're looking to get a badass pocket knife, which everyone needs one, check out the Cold Steel Broken Skull Knife or the new Working Man's Knife, and you can get them at my new Amazon store. Amazon has the best price on both knives. Just go to amazon.com/shop/Steve Austin. And I want to say thank you one more time to the fine sponsors of the Steve Austin Show. That's how I'm able to do this podcast for you twice a week for free. And you can find all my sponsors at podcastone.com. Just click on the Killer Deals button at the top of the page and click on the Steve Austin Show banner. And speaking of Podcast One, the new Podcast One app is now available for download at the App Store or Google Play. There ain't another podcast app like this one anywhere, and that's because the new Podcast One app is loaded with some cool features that let you do a lot more than just listen to your favorite shows. You can access behind-the-scenes photos, articles, and connect with other fans of the shows you like. Watch over 1,000 360 virtual reality videos. You can actually watch some of your favorite shows in virtual reality. It's like you're sitting right in a room with them. So get to the App Store, Google Play, and download the new Podcast One app now. Until then, my name is Steve Austin, and I will catch your ass down the road.
Download new episodes of Steve Austin Unleashed every Thursday at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com.